was there for 5 months. I am the last one from the female medics to leave. My colleagues left. They varied from 10, 20 days, 22 days. The most was 46 days. And I was the last to leave the prison there or the detention. What happened there, actually, the terrifying was the investigation. It was totally illegal for all of us. So I talk on behalf of my colleagues. I mean, actually, all Bahraini, in a way, we are gone through the same systematic matter. We were all arrested without a warrant. We were all handcuffed and blindfolded and went into interrogation without allowing us to talk to a lawyer. I never knew what was my accusation, to be, believe it or not. I am a civilian, and I was interrogated by somebody from the military courts, and I was interrogated by the drug department office or department. What do they have to do with me? I'm not a drug addict. I'm not on drugs. But they were the one who are interrogating us. And during the night, I mean, these are horrible times. I have to tell you that. I keep wanting to write down my testimony, and it's really hard because I just remembered, you know, during the nighttime, you hear your colleagues screaming because they take you from one cell to the other. They make you make sure to that you are hearing your colleagues screaming. They were whooping them and beating them, and I can hear them. Or they would drag you, of course, the whole time you're blindfolded and handcuffed from one room to other to hear your colleagues. Actually, I heard some of my colleagues, and I was very happy to hear their voices because I thought, oh, they're alive, thank God, you know, because I was worried about them when I was outside.
What were you told about why you were being held, and what did you, it must have been such a terrifying experience. What thoughts were going through your head about why you were there and when you might be released?
Let me tell you, I had no idea what the hell was going on. I was thinking to myself, okay, I am here for a few hours. I tried to calm myself down, but I kept thinking to myself, what did I do wrong? I knew they were going to interrogate me. They did interrogate me in the Ministry of Health that morning. They called me in an office. They interrogated me, asked me several questions. Why were you there? Blah, blah, blah. And that was the end of it. And I thought, okay, interrogation is done. Not to imagine that at nighttime, I'm going to go to this horror house. I call it horror house of CID. And I never knew why was I there. And then this woman starts shouting at me that you hate the system, that you incite the king, and that you were in public gathering, that you were a protester against the system, against the king. And she went on and on and saying bad words. As a matter of fact, there are some vocabulary that I haven't heard in my life. And I thought to myself, what are you talking about? I kept asking her, and I say, no, this is not what happened. And of course, the minute you say no, they beat you up and they electrocute you. And for a minute, you lose your conscience. And then you start thinking, okay, where am I? What happened to that bad and then to that point? And then you feel like a tinnitus or ringing in your ears because of this electricity they put to your head behind your face. And your face, I mean, I know that I felt my face was huge because of the beating. There were three men, I remember very well, three men and one female, an officer, which I know her very well because she told me who she was. And they started beating me up, and I thought, how dare you do this? I mean, interrogation, as we see in TV, as we see in democratic country, I thought my country have the same thing where you sit and you have the right for your lawyer, they read your warrant. But this is not what happened to all of us.
Did you fear for your life?
Yes, and then we were all detained without knowing what on earth was going on. I mean, till this day, I keep thinking, I am in a nightmare. I'm going to wake up one day from it. And, you know, when last night I heard about my colleague, I thought, oh, my God, the nightmare is back again. This is exactly how I feel. I mean, it's like a choo-choo train. It never ends. It hasn't been 2 months for me yet from being released, and I cannot imagine that we're going to go back again to the same place. to be tortured again, to be questioned. And I don't know why. I know one thing, that I did my job. This is all that I know. I did my job, and I will do it again and again and again.
Tell me about that period, because that's obviously the period in question when these accusations have been leveled against you and your fellow healthcare professionals during the protests in Bahrain, when clearly a lot of people were very badly injured. Please explain what your conduct was then and what they have alleged that you did.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, it all started on the 14th of February of 2011. You know, they started having a protest. There was one protester who died that day. He was shot. And there was an influx of people coming to the hospital. And then so we all ran that day to help. We said, okay, we've got to go help. If they need us, we'll go help. And they said, we don't need you. We are fine. And there was a lot of people in there. And I said, okay, I will leave. I will not come back. You know, they don't need me. It's okay. On the 15th, there was another protester who died. On the 17th, there was, and this is all in February, the attack on the Lulu roundabout, where there was a medical tent there set up. And actually what really made the health medics very, very mad was seeing our colleague, Dr. Fadiq Al-Ikri, coming into the emergency room, hit, broken bones, hit to the eye. He almost lost his eye. And that day on the 17th, on the 18th, early morning, when we saw all this, it was like a disaster. It's like, are we in Bahrain or what? The hospital activated the disaster. Chairpersons were all there. They were all, you know, informed. And we went just to help because we knew that the hospital is not going to be able to handle all this stress.
The suggestion was that the doctors were trying to overthrow the government, that you were supporters of the plot, protesters.
One of the government, he was on BBC, I forgot his name, I think it was Aziz Mubarak, Sheikh Aziz Mubarak, if I'm not wrong, maybe I am wrong. But he said that was, the medics tried to have a coup d'etat. And my question to him, coup d'etat, in any revolutions in the world, from books, from stories, what we hear, coup d'etat means starting with a TV station or a radio station to tell people what's going on, not in a hospital full of sick people. I am very sorry. That cannot happen. Have you ever heard of a revolution and they do coup d'etat from a hospital? Come on, logic. Where is logic with this? Give me a break.
That you think they have targeted the medics? Because it does seem a very extreme reaction by any measure, and clearly one that has shocked the world. I mean, why do you feel that you, among all of the medics and other medical staff who were there, were targeted?
Because we are a witness for what happened. We are a witness of the injured people. Some of us were there when the hospital was seized. There was a big, huge medical tent in front of the hospital that was worked on for 3 days to be occupied. We have mattresses all over the hospital outside to manage all the injured people. And here they come, the army, and they get over it, and they tell you, yes, this is the tent that people had their guns. What guns do you mean? What guns are you talking about? We are accused because we did our job. You know, there's something called human rights. There's something called Geneva Convention, which I was tortured like hell when I talked about Geneva Convention when they were interrogating me. There is no respect to doctors, nurses, paramedics with their uniform on. We were not civilians. We were not wearing just regular clothes. If we did, then you have the right. Maybe you think we are a protester, whatever you want to. But not with our with our lab coats, with our nursing dresses, our paramedic jacket saying, I am a paramedic or I am a member of the medics. No. The whole thing is illegal. The way we got arrested is illegal, mm-hmm. And that means everything gets dropped. You know, they dragged us into court early morning on my first day of court. I think it was the 20th of June, if I'm not wrong. And they dragged us to court. I didn't know where I'm going. I was shocked. Oh, I am in a court. I didn't see my lawyer. I have not seen my family in 3 months. I saw them for the first time in court. You know, I will never forget, never. I walked by my colleagues, the male doctors. They were all blindfolded, handcuffed, and they were chained by the waist, one to the other, and they were chained by their ankles. And they were left in the heat. And I was walking by them, and I thought, oh my God, am I in the slavery time or what? Am I in Bahrain? And they were beaten. They were cussed at. They were beaten. They were sweating. I cannot take this image from my head. When I go to bed, I think of this image. And I just cannot get it out of my mind. These are well-known doctors. They have served the country for 20 years. They were all educated in Bahrain or other countries. They were trained in UK, Scotland, Ireland, United States. We were all trained outside. And we have served this country, and we are proud of our country. We go to international arena, and we represent our country. But I never thought my country will do that to me or my colleagues. Never.
It's such a shocking situation, and clearly very distressing for you. And you mentioned that you've packed your bag and are waiting in case you should be arrested before your appeal date. Can you just explain a little bit what it's like living in fear of potentially being returned to custody where you were tortured?
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare that you cannot wake up from. To think that you'll leave your house, they will drag you again to the same area, that you're going to be treated again the same thing. And this is not Bahrain that I lived in. You know, I am raised in a house of a mother who is a Sunni and a father who is a Shia. I've always been raised like this. I've never been raised to be a sectarian. And I don't want to say the word sectarian. I don't want to believe that the country is being this way. But when you are in jail for 5 months and seeing 200 to 250 women who are Shia, then you start thinking, is it really a sectarian hatred? Who is hating who? Who's being inciting the hatred and sectarian in the country? Us or the system? I don't know. To think that I'm going to go back again, it's unbelievable and unheard of. But if this is what's going to happen, then let it happen. But know for a fact, I know deep in my heart and in front of God that I am an innocent, my colleagues are innocent, and we've done our job. And my worries are, if anything happens to Bahrain, nobody is going to volunteer. Trust me, nobody is going to do it again.